Even though I have come to expect it, the departure of Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, makes me sad each year. When we meet Yitro in the book of Shemot, it's with lauding him and depicting him as the quintessential convert, the Jew by choice, the image of the spiritual seeker who recognizes the beauty of Jewish life, who has seen all the different religious and philosophical ideas available in the world at large and chosen this one. He has ideals, he has ideas, he has dreams that an outsider could join a community and become an integral part of life. And indeed, that is possible. But in his case, it's not so clear that it happens. Many people speak about Yitro's arrival, but few speak about the episode this week, Bahalotcha, where Yitro decides to leave and go back to his original home, back to his home of old. Some suggest that it's only temporary, that Yitro has just gone back for a visit or maybe planned to return to his original family and speak to them about Judaism and will then come back to the Jewish people. Maybe he's gone to convert his kinsmen. And others suggest that maybe he had never planned to stay with the Jewish people, that he had only come for a visit. But the plain meaning of the text seems to be that he's invited to stay and he decides to leave. In Perek Yud, this week's Parsha, Pasuk Chavtet, the Torah says, Vayomer Moshe Lechovav ben Reuel Hamidyani, Choten Moshe, that Moshe said to his father-in-law, Nos'im anachnu el hamakom asher amar Hashem, oto eten lechem. We're going to go now to the land that Hashem said he's going to give us. Lecha itanu, vitavnu lach. Come with us, we'll take good care of you. Ki Hashem diber tova Yisrael, because Hashem has promised good for the Jewish people. Vayomer Elav, and Yitro says back to Moshe, Lo elech, I will not go. Ki im el arsi ve'el moladati elech, I am going to go back to my homeland. Moshe then goes on and asks Yitro, please don't leave us. You could be a scout for us, and you could go with us, and it could be very nice. And then that's it. There's no further conversation. And we're left to wonder, so in fact, did Yitro stay or did he go? So Shlomo Kluger has a startling analogy that he uses to explain this passage. He suggests that the situation of Moshe and Yitro is much like a person who's making a wedding celebration. And there's someone out there that they feel a need to invite out of sense of obligation, but actually would prefer that that person not attend. So what do? You invite them at the last minute when it's likely to be too late for them to be able to arrange to attend. And he says that in the prior verse, when is it that Moshe tells Yitro, by the way, we're going? Immediately before they go. And why? Maybe it's the perfunctory, oh, please do stay, but it isn't really intended. And Yitro is a smart cookie. He knows exactly what's happening here. He knows that maybe he isn't completely wanted, and he expresses his intention to leave. Now, in Jewish law, in the fourth paragraph above Metzia, it discusses the prohibition against making something that's for sale or a gift look like more than it really is. Make it look nicer than it really is, shining it up when it's really poor quality and covering over blemishes. The exception that is offered in this is what happens when there's a perfunctory gesture where both parties know that it isn't real. You're sending an invitation to a relative across the world. You know they're not going to attend. They know they're not going to attend, but it's a courteous gesture and a nice thing. But there's a thin line between a courtesy that both people know is meant as a gesture of love and actually faking something insincere to make it look like a person meant it. And when that happens here, Yitro just says, no, thank you. And it really hurts because you would hope that maybe the other person at least had the decency to treat you like an intelligent adult and talk with you directly about it. But indeed, this latter portion of the Parsha, which is about the Jewish people moving on from Sinai and moving towards Israel, at least initially, it's the beginning of a community journey, and there are four stories told. They go in order, and all four are stories of misguided speech. The first is Moshe making a play of inviting Yitro along, as we just discussed, according to Rav Shlomo Kluger. The second is that the Jewish people start to complain about the manna that's been falling from the sky and supporting them over this time. And instead of actually dealing with something constructive, there are complaints and talking behind people's backs instead of trying to work it out constructively. After that, Miriam takes issue with her brother Moshe and speaks about him behind his back. And then finally, the fourth episode, it leads into really next week, which is the lies and the misleading reports of the spies about the land of Israel. And after that string of four incidents, the Jewish people are told that they can't go into Israel. And maybe it's because we hadn't really figured out yet how to make a constructive society, how to deal with difficult conversations. So we're left in the desert for 40 years to learn to live together and learn how to do this right, because there are issues out there between people and in societies, and they need to be dealt with. And when they're not working, the key is we need to remember to deal with the issues themselves, not attacking people, not going behind their back, not playing games, but rather to deal directly with a human being constructively, honestly, and gently, for the purposes of making things truly better for all involved.